Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. Again, we're grateful that you're joining with us. I just love working with parents. It's just a passion of mine to help parents to develop specific plans for their children. I kind of view children as a big puzzle, and some pieces are out of place or missing or something. And so by working with parents, I can help figure out what those are and then empower parents to bring about changes. I believe parents are the best trainers, the best counselors, the best therapists, the best teachers for their children if they have a good plan. So helping parents with that plan is just, for me, I get tickled whenever I get to work with a family and help them to develop some significant solutions in their lives. And so I'm grateful to be with you folks again today. And I'm joined with Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands. So Elena, thanks for joining with me today. In fact, why don't you introduce our topic for today?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Scott. Hi, everyone listening. It's indeed a pleasure and a joy to be speaking about parenting and about these important ideas we bring about. Today, I actually wanted to talk to you about how do we become wise as parents to help our children live in a world which is full of sin, which is full of which is against God most of the time, and how do we teach our children to have the right response, to have the right attitude? How do we become examples ourselves? I think it's so important. We cannot take our children out of the world. We cannot take ourselves out of the world, but we can learn to be wise and to be full of wisdom. So, Dr. Scott, today I wanted to speak to you about this. Our children go to school, they go to football matches, they go to everywhere they go, they're surrounded by people who don't know God. And we want not only to be a light for this in the world, but we also want to have the right attitude and the right way to manage situations that can be perhaps a bit unpleasant. So I would love to hear your thoughts on this, and I would love to hear your advice. You have a lot of experience working with parents as a parent yourself. So how should we think about this as parents, Dr. Scott?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, because we want our children to be able to develop the inner convictions to take a stand for what's right in challenging situations. We want them to grow in their maturity and their whole philosophy of life. We want it to be biblically centered. Yet at the same time, we don't necessarily want to sequester them. We want them to be able to be out there being with other people. So finding this balance is important with our children. I think that the key answer to the question is that it depends on the individual child. Some children have the internal strength to do what's right, even under pressure. Some children have the ability to perceive danger in the philosophies that are out there and stay away from them. Some children have the ability to say no to friends who are trying to motivate them to do the wrong thing. They have the ability to choose the right kind of friends. And some children don't. And so I think that children who don't have the internal strength to manage worldliness need to develop greater strength. And many times that strength means not being in situations that are tempting. So I had a family, parents call me, and they said, we want to, our child's having all these problems, doing this and that and the other thing, bad, you know, and this teenager. And vaping, and I found a condom in her wallet, in her purse, and some other things. So we started to talk, and then they said, well, our philosophy is we don't want to sequester our daughter. We want her to learn how to live in the world. And so my response is it working? And they laughed and said, I don't think so. I said, well, maybe you need a different plan for the moment. Maybe allowing her to have unfettered access to electronics is more dangerous than helpful. Maybe the choice of school that she's in is not the best. Maybe you do need to make the change that you're thinking of to a different school for her schooling option, so that she can not have so much worldliness thrown at her. It's just amazing to me how much worldliness our children are faced with. I mean, we say to our kids when they come in the door, wipe your feet. You know, don't bring that mud into the house. But then we just look at the other ways that filth comes into the house through technology and watching YouTube videos. Not that they go and watch pornographic videos necessarily, although some do, but it's just looking at the latest styles and hearing the latest worldliness and how the world defines marriage or gender, all these things. It just is really hard for many young people to know how to respond in those kind of situations. So I tend to think that parents put their children in difficult situations more than not. But the real issue is my child able to manage the worldliness that they're exposed to? If not, then we as parents need to find some solutions that will limit that worldliness. And many clients I work with end up saying, you know, I think we're going to limit the electronics more. And I think it's a great idea. Electronics are one of those ways that worldliness creeps into a home. And it's not that kids are watching bad things or evil things. It's just that there's a mentality built into the entertainment and built into the dialogue of social media that is in itself a worldliness. So we have to be careful. Electronics is just one of those things. Hanging around with bad friends is a problem. I know that, you know, parents say, well, I really protect how my kids handle friendships. And I say, that's great. But it doesn't sound like you limit electronics. You just allow your child to be on electronics day and night. And I mean, those are friends for our kids. So again, I think that the answer to the question is a very challenging one and depends on the unique individual child. If a child has the internal strength to go into a situation and represent Christ, to do what's right, even though other people aren't doing it, to not be so influenced by the world that they sacrifice their values and convictions, then I think they could have a little bit more worldliness exposure than a child who is weak in those areas. In all cases, I think that we need to be helping our children to know how to face the challenges of this world and what that looks like.
Yeah, I think you're right. And from what I hear you saying, I understand that each plan will depend on how our child is and how their character is and how they're responding. Sometimes we as parents are not all the time there to see that, you know, our children are at school. And I, for example, would love to be a fly on the wall and see how my son responds to different stimulus that and things that are happening to him. And I know that we can, you know, we have the opportunity to teach them at home, to teach them about the Bible, to teach them about the will of God and what we are called to do as Christians. So I think that's important. Dr. Scott, I know you had, for example, you had children that were homeschooled and perhaps that's, let's say, keeping them a bit more out of the world. For example, here in the Netherlands, we cannot homeschool our children. They have to go to school. So, and we are sending our children to a semi-Christian school. It's, which is great. That's an amazing opportunity, but still sin is everywhere. So I think if you would kind of think about working all your experience, working with all the parents, all the cases that you've learned and you've been through, what would be, let's say, some critical things that you would say, okay, these are some of the areas where parents should focus, regardless of whether their child is at home or in a school, knowing that they don't spend that time with their child, they don't always know what they're doing at school and how they respond. And yes, it can be that they get to a very difficult, challenging situation, it can, you know, very bad. But sometimes our children do things and we never hear of them and we never really are aware of it. And I think that's my fear somehow as a parent, that my child grows in a way or hears things I don't know, because I'm not there at school. And when he's at home, he's just, you know, well-behaved or at least okay behaved. How would you advise parents in this kind of situations?
Well, I do think we have to be close to our kids enough to know what's going on. And so we're trying to find out as much as we can. I think staying connected to other parents at the school that have the same values that you do is important. I do like homeschooling. It's not for everyone, but it does provide parents with the opportunity to have more control over the influences their children experience. I think that we need to not only be on guard like that, but we also want to be proactive, teaching our children so much about what it means to follow Christ. I think that Christianity falls behind in some ways in this area. I know that if you study Amish, the Amish community, they help their children see there's an identity, and they allow their children, then when they're, you know, 18 years old, to leave the Amish community and to decide, do they want to be there or not? But they do a lot of work to help those young people feel their sense of identity. The same thing's true with children who grow up in a Jewish home. They have a lot of identity that's built into them as they're being trained. In Christianity, I don't know, we don't do that as much. And I think we should. I think we need to do more of that so that our children can grasp what it means, their identity in Christ. I think this is so important. And if we don't do this with our kids, then bad things happen to them. So we want to be proactive. I think that means talking about the scriptures and theology, memorizing scripture, having discussions about worldliness and spirituality and the various deceptions that are out there in our world today. I think if we do those kinds of things, we're helping our children to have a little bit more preparation for the things they're going to see, because they've heard it first in the home. So for example, we have a series at the National Center for Biblical Parenting called Learning About Sex. And that series is available that people can purchase and they can use in their home to read to their kids at any age. There's a book for each age group. And so it's developmentally appropriate, teaching from a concept of God's worldview. So I would suggest that parents have to be proactive in this area, because if they aren't proactive, the children are going to find out about sex in ways that we don't want them to do, either by their friends or by YouTube or by social media, and or even by the schools themselves are often teaching this subject in ways that we don't approve of. And so they need to hear it from us, because when they do, they're learning more about where the truth is. So whether it's dealing with sexual identity, or it's dealing with the understanding of marriage, or it's dealing with my self-concept or my mission in life or my purpose, the world has a whole different way of looking at things than Christians do. So we want to make sure our children are getting this, understanding it, so that they can benefit the most from the training. So we're being proactive. We're also being on guard, looking for ways to try to help our children to respond well to what's going on and be prepared for what's going to happen.
How do we deal when our children come in with very different ideas than what we are, let's say, teaching them? Let's say they're adolescents and they come in and really bring some strong, different opinion. I, for example, know someone and they're Christian, but their daughter is not, and they are flying on their house a flag with the rainbow, you know, and I think when I saw that picture, I was like, wow, I would have a hard time doing that as a parent, you know. How should we respond to children who are really, let's say, against in a way that's loving, but also that keeps us as Christians faithful?
Yes. So this is the battle that we face. This is the battle we face in our families, in our world, with our friends. It is, we are trying to persuade our children to see that the principles that we hold to are not plastic. They are the real thing. We want them to recognize that in their lives. And as we do, we're trying to bring more continuity into their hearts so that they have this sense of, you know, I know what I need to do, what I'm doing, and so on. So if kids have a greater sense of conviction, and we talk about convictions because that's what it's all about, values and convictions that we're trying to help children understand. It's not just my opinion of what I think a rainbow flag is. It has to do with, what does God's word say? We have to be continually asking the question, what does God say in a given situation? And we ask that question, then we're able to proceed in a way that is more strategic with our kids. So Yeah, it's not an easy thing. I think this is what we do. We pray a lot for our children, trying to help them to grow and learn. But it is a lot of work what we do as parents to try to help these children to grow and develop and change.
Yeah, that's so true. Dr. Scott, thank you for your wise thoughts that you're sharing with us. And I know it comes from a lot of years working with parents and families and children. So I really appreciate every single idea that you're sharing here on the podcast. I want to encourage parents to go ahead and listen to the other episodes if they haven't yet. We have really valuable thoughts that we shared. We shared about the biblical parenting that Dr. Scott coaches also on. And it's so, so valuable, so important, so many strategies that we're sharing that can help parents to come to a better place when it comes to parenting. And we give ideas, we give our suggestions. So please go ahead and listen to the other episodes. Before we close today's episode, Dr. Scott, are there any words of encouragement or words of wisdom that you want to share with parents on this topic we are talking about today?
Yeah, I think that parents want to be pointing out differences between worldliness and spiritual truth. I think that's helpful. You're watching a movie and you see them, you know, jumping into bed together in the movie, then I think you're going to make a statement about of that somehow. I think that's important. And then I also just, I think it's important to be praying for our children and praying with them, because this attitude of prayer that we have that lives out our spirituality. I mean, just the way that we carry ourselves in our lives. If prayer is a private thing for you and you don't pray out loud, I'd say get over it. We live in too many difficult times here. Children need parents who are revealing their spirituality in their life and why they take a stand for what's right and so on. So this is so important for parents to be able to do with their children. Their lives are at stake and their future. So yeah, I say there's a lot of things going on here, but I think we're doing everything we can to help our children develop the inner strength they need to be successful in life.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Once again, do go ahead and listen to the other episodes we recorded. And until next time, we wish everyone many blessings and enjoy the summer.